Hi, everyone. Welcome to Movies with My Mother. I am Lexi.
And I'm Mom Lori.
And we've got a little housekeeping before we get on with our 87th movie.
87.
Can you even?
No, I can't even imagine.
I have made us an Instagram.
Yes.
And I've been posting stuff there. So come find us on Instagram. I believe it's Movies with My Mother Pod.
Okay.
But it'll have our logo. I'm pretty sure there's not anybody else masquerading as us. So.
And why would they?
So I think you'll find it. I made us a Pinterest. And on that, I am spamming Amazon links. And I'm doing that because there is a program that Amazon does for content creators and influencer types to help them spread brands and stuff. I'm not just putting shit on there to put shit on there. I'm putting shit that we actually use, stuff that I know, stuff that I've bought.
Yeah.
And that will help us that, you know, we'll get a small commission and that will help us buy our TikTok props. You know, that roll of ribbon will now be free instead of $5. So, you know, it's goofy, but we're trying it. You know, who knows what it'll really end up being. But check out our Pinterest, check out our Instagram, and we're still on Facebook.
Yeah.
We're on Blue Sky. But I don't really post a lot there. I really probably should be better about that.
I don't have a Blue Sky, so
but
I know I've heard people talking about it. So
kind of like Twitter without most of the assholes.
Oh, maybe I should sign up there.
So
spread a few assholes in.
So if you want to check any of that stuff out, we would appreciate it. If you are interested in buying anything to help our podcast, that's a great way to do it. And we thank you in advance. But again, don't do it if you don't want to.
Yeah. If it's not something you would use, don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, I see all those other creators that have stuff that thinking, who would use that? Who would do that?
We do have expensive hair care on there because, well, I spend a lot of money on my hair. Like,
as do I.
But
I just spent $100 yesterday. I got a haircut and a can of mousse.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But it's good stuff, and I wouldn't use it if it weren't.
Absolutely.
If it weren't good.
Same with me. I use this product because it works for me. I like it, and so I use it. That's one thing I do try to take care of is my hair.
And I've been trying to go back and put the movies that we've watched in there as well. So anybody that wants to pick up anything that we've watched can do it that way.
It's an idea.
If you're so inclined. I haven't gone all the way through and looked for everything, but I'm trying to do a few a day.
I haven't looked at it in the last few days, so I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I just knew all the original stuff that we put in there.
Yeah.
Soy glaze, if you all make your bowls, rice bowls, something like that, check out that soy glaze. It is fabulous.
It's bomb, and it's $6, and that one jar will last you two or three really good food rounds.
Yes. Yeah, it is really good.
It's so good.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's what, you know, it's.
So that's what we've been up to.
Yeah. Yes. No good.
Yeah. Now, should we get on with the movie?
Okay.
Today we watched, Mom brought this on herself.
I did. I went and opened my mouth and Summer fell out and Lex said, let's do Sleepaway Camp.
Mom said, let's watch one of your scary summer camp movies. And I said,
and I'm sorry I said anything. Oh my goodness. To all you people who are big fans of this movie, Congratulations.
This movie is one of the most awesome, terrible movies that you will ever watch in your entire life.
Okay. It's so overacted. It's so unbelievable.
It's
why would they go to summer camp in the fall?
Well, you're not supposed to notice it.
I know. You told me that. Stop looking at that. It was the fall.
It was definitely the fall.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
But it's one of the best horror movies you'll see on Tubi. Listen, as a fan of bad movies, this is very near the top.
I guess I would have to agree with you on that.
Because
I've seen some bad movies.
Yeah. Like, this isn't like a bad movie where you're like, oh, I've got to turn this off. This is a bad movie. Like, you're on the edge of your seat. You need to know what's happening.
You cannot look away. You cannot look away. It's the train wreck. You know, people say, oh, you can't look away from a wreck. No, you can't. This is it.
Yeah.
Right there on your own television.
This movie is from 1983, and you could very much see that in the wardrobe. It was a rated hot R, and it was 84 minutes long, so it's just a little tiny bite-sized movie.
Yes. Seemed a whole lot longer than that.
It really did feel much longer, but it was only 84 minutes. Directed by Robert Hiltzik.
Yep.
Baby. She wants to tap dance on the keyboard.
Our producer, Tallulah, wants to be on the keyboard.
Yeah. Here. Let me. Now you can lay down. Lay down.
But that's not on the computer, Mommy.
She'll figure it out. This movie got an 81% on Rotten Tomatoes.
As I said, you can't look away.
A 58 on Metascore. And a 6.2 out of 10 on IMDb, which I feel is low.
You do too.
Because I know there are people like me that watch awful movies to watch an awful movie. So, like, where are these people? And why aren't they rating shit on IMDb?
Really? I don't know. Wow. Yes, and this whole movie, when we started talking about this, she told me that I can't be looking into this movie. I literally have one page of information about the director because she did not want me to find out about the ending.
No, this is one of those movies that has that twist ending. And once we ruin it, because we're going to ruin it.
Yeah, we will. So if you don't want to know about it, don't listen.
Yeah, you probably should turn this off now, because we're gonna spoil the hell out of this movie.
We are.
This is one of those movies that people are like, we can't wait to have a new person watch this with us so they can see that ending. And I actually filmed Mom watching the ending.
And to be perfectly honest, I don't think I got it. I don't know what happened. What I was supposed to be thinking. That should be its own TikTok. My mouth just... What? I don't even know what to say, Alexis. I don't even know what to say.
This was a rough watch, but it was worth it.
It was all right. It was all right.
It had a budget of about $350,000.
Wow, that much?
Now, IMDb, I found two very different numbers. Ooh. IMDb had a worldwide gross of $770.
No.
But Wikipedia had a worldwide gross of around 11 million.
That sounds more reasonable. Because this, you have that box set. It's included in that. That counts.
Well, I think, you know, I think that both of these numbers can be true. I think that, you know, in the, you know, the three movie houses this went to, because I don't know if it had a worldwide release.
Right.
And I can't imagine that it had, you know, a large theater showing.
Right, because the director was not a well-known director. He wrote it. So, you know, it was really not even anything. Well, nobody important was in the movie. You know, I'm sure all these kids were actors, but they were not well-known actors.
No. Did you see that half of the cast was introducing?
Yeah. So they just picked them up off of the street.
Yeah, basically. So I can see how maybe a limited theater run would net $700.
Absolutely, yes.
And then I can see how video sale would just put that into the atmosphere. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, yes.
So.
Yes.
And like I said in our TikTok, 20 years ago when I bought this box set, like, I think I spent $60 on it. And 20 years ago, $60 was like most of a week's wage.
Right.
So, you know, I spent a ton of money on this box set.
Right.
And I looked at it to buy it, to put it on our Pinterest, to throw it in there. And I didn't, because it was just so expensive. The box set that I have, somebody is selling on Amazon for $200 plus paid shipping.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I wonder if they'll get it.
I don't know. An aficionado should.
Oh, okay.
You know, if you like horror movies, if you like campy horror movies, you definitely should have this in your collection. And the sequels only get worse.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
But in the sequel, there are some kind of relatively big names if you only look at surnames.
Oh.
Because in, I think she's in 2 and 3. As a counselor, Renee Estevez.
Oh, okay.
And Angela is played by, is it Pamela?
In this movie?
No.
Okay.
In this movie, Angela was played by Felissa Rose.
Yes.
In the sequels, Angela is played by, I think her name is Pamela Springsteen. And you know how many Springsteens in the world there are.
Really?
Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah, that's Springsteen.
Wow. My goodness, how interesting.
So, you know, it's not for lack of trying that these movies didn't, you know, try to do something.
Right.
But I just don't think they ever really took off the ground. And
what did I say? There were 3 sequels?
There's
two by someone else, and then the third one by this man came back and wrote Return to Sleepaway Camp.
And I think there's another one floating around. So I think there's unofficially 5.
5. Okay. Okay. It doesn't appear to me that I wrote that down, so I'm not real sure. Sorry.
Plot, the general plot of this is, at Camp Arawak, a series of bizarre and increasingly violent accidents in quotations,
accidents,
claim the lives of various campers and camp staff. But who is behind all of this? Cast is a baby. Felissa Rose.
They were all babies.
Basically. Jonathan Tiersten, Karen Fields, Christopher Collette, C-O-L-L-E-T, Collette.
Yeah.
Mike Kellen. Catherine Campi. Paul D'Angelo. Desiree Gould. Or Gould. G-O-U-L-D. However you want to pronounce
yeah.
it. Owen Hughes and Frank Trent Saldino.
The only face I recognized was that of Mike Kellen. And he is a bit actor that's been in a ton of stuff.
Okay.
TV, movies.
A little bit of trivia I have is that this is his last film.
Oh.
Is that he was sick during filming, but really tried to mask that from cast and everybody. But he died of lung cancer in August of 1983.
Yeah, August 26, 1983. Oh my goodness, he died on his birthday.
Oh my God.
He was born August 26, 1922.
Weird.
Oh my.
I think that's interesting when that happens.
How does that happen?
Yeah.
Sorry. Jumped in there.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
But yeah, that is it. That's a simple and to the point.
Yeah, who's are these accidents and who's causing these accidents? And some of these are not accidents.
Oh, no.
Who's doing that?
Nope. That was no. But I want to know how that girl fell out of that shower, you know, 4 days after she was murdered on a different wall. And why did all those little kids that were sleeping in the forest get killed? I don't understand.
I don't know. But Ash is losing his mind right now.
He's playing. Let him be.
He is boisterous.
He's having a good time.
Yeah, he is. Get it, Ashy. Let's talk about, before we get into to spoilers and whatnot, let's talk about the director, the 3 seconds you have on the director.
The 3 paragraphs I found about him that yeah. I wrote a whole page on. Robert Hiltzik, which I think is what you said. That seems right. He graduated from Williams College, and Williams College is a small college in Williamston, Massachusetts. It was originally a men's college, started in 1793. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
And he continued on to the New York University's Tisch School of Art.
Oh, okay.
And then he went on to Hofstra University of Law and became a lawyer. And he's now a partner in a New York City law firm. So that's what he did. He didn't go on in the business. He did this movie and went back to law.
Okay.
In March of 2000, Jeff Hayes from SleepawayCampMovie.com contacted him. He wanted to do, it sounds like, he wanted to do a director's cut type thing.
Okay.
And he approached him to do this interview and to do something for this movie, this thing he was doing. I guess that's what he works for Anchor Bay Entertainment.
Okay, that's who put out the box set.
Yep. And that's what they do. They put together these releases and they do director cut type things. That's what I have. And they remaster stuff and
okay.
The whole thing.
Sure.
And like I said, we talked about earlier that there were the sequels, but they were all the other sequels beside Return to Sleepaway Camp were written and directed by other people.
Right.
That had nothing to do with the original movie. And then sometime after the 2000 approach of this Jeff Hayes, Hiltzik decided to write another one.
Okay.
And that's what, in 2003, he started to write and started to direct a new Return to Sleepaway Camp. And he wanted to do it from the ending of this movie. That was the end. What was next? Let's go to prison, you know, or let's go to the mental hospital. And because it was, you know, it did this, that, and the other thing, it was released in 2008 directly to DVD. So
there's, and no, I know that I own it somewhere. It's upstairs in a box somewhere.
No.
I have all of the Sleepaway Camps.
Oh my goodness. But you know, now that I've seen this, what possibly could go on from there?
Oh, Angela just keeps coming back to the camp and killing people.
What does she get out of the mental hospital or something?
I don't think it really is just explained. I think it's just that Angela's back.
Oh, just like Freddy Krueger then.
And Jason, yeah. He's just back.
He just keeps coming back.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh my goodness. It was
Mom and I were talking about how that sets up universes.
Right.
For this story. And how, you know, what makes something a direct sequel, you know, and what, you know, does it, do all the same people need to be involved to make direct sequels? And there's all, you know, every horror monster has several universes.
Right. Right. And that's the question. What makes a sequel or a prequel? And what and how does it matter? It's the different universes.
To me, you know, I don't think it really matters. Because there's always a way to connect back to the first film.
That's correct.
You know, like, let's take Halloween, for example. Like, that... They have said that Halloween H2O is, like, the direct sequel to the original Halloween, which makes Part 2 not the direct sequel. And then Part 3, we all know Part 3 for Halloween is its own thing.
Right.
And 4, 5, and 6 are now, you know, are they a sequel of Part 2? Are they a sequel of Part 1? You know, this sets up, you know, different lanes for Michael Myers to be in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's enough room in the world for, like, the Michael Myers of it all to be everywhere.
Yes.
And I think, you know, having these killers that don't have to run, that just, you know, can just walk somewhere and just murder you while you're running, screaming from them.
Or not.
I think that helps add to that, like, mythos type thing.
Uh-huh.
Where they're just walking. And, you know, wherever they're walking, you know, is whatever happens.
Yeah. Yeah, and I thought, you know, when we talked about it before, I went and looked it up. And a sequel, what they said on the computer, is a narrative work, like a book or movie, that continues the story of a previous work. It doesn't say anything about, you know, how it should be, just that it's a continuance of a previous movie.
Okay.
And it has typical features. And those are familiar characters, familiar settings, themes, but it introduces new conflicts. And that's the whole key right there. It introduces new stuff. Yeah, Michael Myers is in every movie, and this happens this time.
Okay, that would make room for, like, the Cult of Thorn and, like, that stuff.
Sure.
Okay.
And a good sequel, it says, builds on the foundation of the original, offering a unique and satisfying story of its own. So, yeah, absolutely.
So, by that definition, Halloween 2 would be a direct sequel.
Absolutely.
Because you're supposed to make the logic leap that Halloween 2, you know, Laurie is taken out of the Tommy Doyle's house and taken to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And then Michael comes. And so, yeah, no, okay.
And there is even guidelines for what makes a good sequel.
Okay.
Avoiding repetition.
Sure.
That,
you got to have inventive kills. If you're just stabbing somebody, you got to get it interesting.
Right. It has to build to something new.
Yeah. Okay.
Respects the original.
Okay.
Provides character development.
Sure.
A unique perspective.
Okay.
Sometimes that kind of gets lost, I think, in sequels. And keeps audiences engaged. So, yeah, I mean, all of that definitely has to go into making a sequel, because if those things aren't there, you're not going to come back and watch it.
Right.
You're not going to pay to come back and watch it. But then it also says what makes a bad sequel. And that is pretty clear. A less skilled director.
Oh.
I thought, wow, that one tiny little sentence says volumes.
Boy, okay. That's to the point.
Yeah. Because that's what it is. You know, you see a movie that you really like, and then the sequel comes out by a different director, and you're going, oh, okay. You know, so weird, you know, when you think about it. But I thought, yeah, that says it all. And then I looked even further, you know, if we're going to do this, we're going to do this. The very first sequel, which is considered the sequel, is a movie called The Fall of a Nation from 1916. And
what was the original movie?
It was that movie was written and directed by Thomas Dixon Jr. And the first movie was Birth of a Nation
in
1915 by D.W. directed by D.W. Griffith.
Do you know anything about Birth of a Nation?
Yes. I have been to school.
Okay.
It's about the KKK, basically. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a horrible. Yeah. But in 1915, that's what it was. You know, so beside that, that was considered the first. And Thomas Dixon Jr. is the guy that wrote that book.
Okay.
And he thought he's going to make his movie, the next movie, off of the back of D.W. Griffin. And see, there's where that little sentence that I said before, a less skilled director comes in.
Okay.
Here's this great big director who everybody knows who he is. And then this guy says, I can make that movie. And not so much.
Did you know that Birth of a Nation was screened at Woodrow Wilson's White House?
No.
Yeah, he was a fan.
Well, you know, I mean, you have to look at everything in the perspective of time.
Yeah.
You know, the time that happens is the time that happens, you know. But, you know, We lived in Southern Ohio for a while, a long time, and I've seen people dressed up in their Klan gear. It's frightening.
Yeah.
Even at the time I saw them, they were not allowed to wear their hoods, but they had hats that look just like their hoods.
Yeah.
But it's frightening.
She's got a dog.
Does she?
That's why she's out there screaming.
Keep hearing her, but I don't see her.
Yeah, she's like right. She's like just in my eye shot.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. The birth of a nation. Oh, Jesus Christ.
But that was considered the first sequel.
So the fall of the nation. So what was the fall of the nation?
It was just a continuation of.
Oh, just more Klan killing black people?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Great.
Wonderful. Just went on from where that one left off. It went on to the end of the book. So.
Ugh.
Yeah. Crazy, huh?
Gross.
Yes, but unfortunately, history is not pretty.
No, but boy, that's wild.
Yes. Yeah.
What a shitty start, though.
Well, it can only go up from there.
I guess.
Right up to this movie.
There wasn't a lot of what I would call diversity in this movie.
No, the only person of color was the guy that was the cook in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And he was just shucking the corn.
Yeah, he was just the kitchen helper guy. And otherwise, it was just some really dark Italians.
Right? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. But, you know, that's part of... history is history. And
that's crazy.
You know, unless you're making up your own history, history's pretty ugly.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you don't know history, you can't go forward. So.
Yeah. Go read a book. Read a banned book.
Ooh, yeah. Read a banned book. Yep. Yep. Although I haven't read a banned book in several years, so maybe I should do that.
Oh, my God. My friend is trying to slog through Clockwork Orange. And I was like, girl, just watch the movie.
Wow.
Just watch the movie. You still don't know what the fuck they're saying.
Yeah, that's pretty deep. I've never read that one either.
Oh. I think I read about 3 pages and was just like, I can't. And that was back, you know, before Google was there that, you know, could translate half that Russian slang.
Oh.
You know, at least she has Google to
help her get through it.
Try and help her, but
oh, my.
Short of just scanning the whole thing into Google, I don't think you can read the goddamn thing.
I don't know. Craziness.
Now, would you... How funny would you think it is that... we talked last week about being on the Joe Bob Briggs Last Drive-In Facebook group and all the people there. One of the frequent guests on... Joe Bob Briggs Last Drive-In is Felissa Rose.
Really?
Yes. And she is always listed as the mangled dick expert.
What? What?
Because of this movie.
Okay. My goodness. Oh my goodness. How funny. Wow. What a theme. Gosh, that's worse than just being a bitch, isn't it?
No, I think it's great. I think it's hilarious.
Okay.
Felissa Rose was only 13 years old at the time of filming this movie.
Really? Now, I would have guessed her to be much older than that.
No, she was only 13. I did surprise my head to tell Mom about Ricky. Ricky in this movie, played by Jonathan Tiersten. Don't, jerk. Jonathan Tiersten, who plays in this movie as Ricky, her cousin, I asked Mom, I said, how old do you think that boy is? She's like, I don't know, like 12. Jonathan Tiersten was 17 at the time of filming.
I think that's amazing. Do you think he pretended, he acted like that For the part?
Well, I did read that. Where did I find that? His audition was pretty unorthodox, because when he walked in the room, Robert Hiltzik was just like, "I want you to cuss me out." And he was just like, "Okay," and proceeded to just cuss this man out. And that's how we got the role.
Because that little baby face and those bad words?
Maybe.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
There was a little bit of a romance during filming between Felissa Rose and Jonathan Tiersten. But I would have been pissed off at that. Like, she's 13.
Yeah.
Let's not make it creepy.
Well, yeah, 17 and 13, that's a pretty far away.
It's a little much.
Yeah, yeah. Where was her? Was I said this through the movie. Was there an adult in the room?
Yeah. The only compassionate adult at this camp was Ronnie, the over-muscular counselor man, head counselor man.
Who apparently stayed in his cabin the whole time. And only made, you know, guest appearances here and there on occasion.
Yeah. The camp that the movie was filmed at was actually a summer camp that Robert Hiltzik went to as a child.
Oh my gosh.
Isn't that cool?
Yes. Oh, weird.
Felissa Rose's mother didn't want her to be the killer because she was so young.
I get that.
And I told you, when you see the hands go in, when you saw the person pushing that chair above that pot of boiling water, that was a boy's arm. You could very much tell that was a man's arm.
Right.
Jonathan Tiersten did a lot of the shadow work, the hand doubling, and when the door to Judy's cabin opens before she is killed.
That's funny, but okay.
Yeah.
Well, somebody's got to be the hand model.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Somebody stole the latex version of Christopher Collette's head after filming.
What? One of the actors?
I don't know. It doesn't say. It just says someone.
Oh, funny.
Yeah.
I've heard that on others from other movies, too.
Yeah, that little souvenirs are taken.
Yeah, people say, I'm going to take that. Yeah. Ew.
It says the body count in this movie is 13.
That sounds right, because on that one night, there were 8 people bit the dust.
Yeah.
So 13 seems good.
The paramedics who carry Artie, the cook, out were real paramedics from a nearby town.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
We talked about the cop's mustache. He had filmed earlier and had a real mustache and looked great. And he had gone to do something else, shaved his mustache off. And then they said, "Hey, we need you to come back and do some stuff." And he's just like,
so they just used the electrical tape. That was the first thing I thought of when you said to look at the mustache. I thought, oh, it's in a piece of electrical tape. Oh my God, that's funny.
Most of the campers that are getting off of the buses at the beginning of the film,
yeah,
were all relatives of the cast and crew.
Just the kids of the many kids that they could collect to run off of the bus.
Uh-huh.
Fun.
Felissa Rose, Karen Fields, who played Judy, and Catherine Comhey, who played Meg, were actually quite close during filming. And Comhey said that during the scene where the girls are throwing Angela in the water, that was hard to shoot because they were like, well, I don't want to dunk my friend. It's going to suck. That water's cold.
Okay.
Because you said that the movie, the leaves were changed. The movie was shot in the fall, and any close-up of trees and grass were spray-painted green to give the illusion of summertime.
You know, people still spray paint their grass.
I told you there was a 30 Rock connection to this.
You did.
The actress Jane Krakowski, you know who she is?
Yes, I do know who she is.
She was originally cast as Judy, but dropped the role after learning about how grisly Judy's death is.
Oh my gosh. That's fun.
She would have been that age at that time.
Sure. Oh my goodness.
Melissa Rose was paid $5,000 for the role.
Wow.
1983, that's hot money.
I would think, because the whole thing was only $700,000.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a lot. Okay.
For the beehive death scene, a dummy was made of Billy, and a sugar mixture was applied to the face to attract the bees, so that when you see his body finally fall out of the bathroom stall, that's what you see.
Oh. Because they have a pheromone thing that they can use to attract bees. Well, maybe that's now. Maybe they didn't have it back then. Oh, wow.
Rare for a slasher movie, almost all of the victims are 12 to 15 years old. And also, a couple people get attacked but not killed. And I'm trying to think. Yeah, because Artie didn't die.
No. Well, if a kid's killing a kid, I mean, you know. Oh, weird. Okay.
While filming the canoe flip scene, John E. Dunn cut the top of his hand open on a sharp rock and had to be rushed to the hospital.
Oh,
yeah, that would suck.
Yes.
Karen Fields, who was Judy, played a bully, but the cast and crew all commented on how kind she was in reality. And as an adult, she has a trans son who loves this movie and really, really encouraged her to participate in fan conventions and such. And she has. And she's had a great time.
Wow. Okay.
And my last little bit of written trivia is young Peter. When you see that very last little vignette with the doctor.
Yeah. When his head's all wrapped up.
Yeah. Young Peter is played by Massimo Sorrentino. Does that name ring a bell to you?
Sorrentino?
Older brother of MTV Jersey Shore star Mike the Situation Sorrentino.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I'm going to have to look at his picture. I'm going to have to find. Come on.
I didn't look it up either.
What was his name?
Massimo Sorrentino. He played Peter.
Why can't I even find that?
Maybe he's not even linked.
Well, there it is. Yes.
That's exactly who he is. Look at him. Yes. Look at that face.
Yes.
Goofy.
Yes. Oh my gosh, this is funny. Oh, yeah, he's definitely the brother of that guy, yeah. That's funny, Lex. That's funny.
Also, you know, being 13 years old at the time, Felissa Rose could not do any nudity, so they kind of, like, superimposed her face on, like, a small 18-year-old man's body. That's how you got the end shot.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. This was just overall a creepy ass movie.
Listen, I would have ripped Paul's head off too. Getting all handsy. She said no. She said it clearly several times.
That's funny. Oh my goodness. That's crazy. This was certainly an interesting movie. I'm sorry I said anything about summer camps.
Well, was this or another Friday the 13th movie? And honestly, we've already watched my favorite part. And the only other one that is really worth the sit down is Jason Takes Manhattan, I think, but that's like part 8. Where the high school class is taking like
senior trip,
like a cruise boat from Crystal Lake into Manhattan for, you know, a party weekend. It's a party boat, and Jason catches a ride and wreaks havoc. And there is one part in Jason Takes Manhattan where the streets are full of like garbage cans with sludge, and like everybody's a crackhead, and like it really is this like kind of dystopian look at Manhattan. And like a homeless person kicks a dog, and Jason is standing there like, you really did that in front of me? Now I have to kill you.
Good. Oh my.
So he butchers the hell out of that homeless person and leaves that dog to be, which is great.
Wow. Okay.
Hates people, loves dogs. Yeah, well, I'm fine with that.
I'm okay with that. Me too. Me too. Oh my gosh. Wow. Okay. Wow.
So I thought this was the better choice.
Absolutely. Plus, we got to save those Friday the 13th movies for Halloween. We got to save all of those for Halloween.
Okay, well, that'll be like Halloween's down the road, because we've already decided that we're doing Universal Monsters this year. And
right.
I know I've got a box set somewhere that has everything, but I'm slowly finding my movies. And I found a DVD copy of Frankenstein that has Frankenstein Bride, House, Son. It's got a whole bunch of Frankensteins on it, so we'll watch that.
Okay.
I found Dracula. I found Creature from the Black Lagoon.
It's okay.
I can't find Wolfman, but I do believe I found Invisible Man.
Nice. You'll find them all.
Yeah. Eventually.
Before that comes. Yeah. Before time comes, you'll find them all. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. The only other stuff I have a little bit more on cult classics.
Okay.
You know, like what we watch. Since I didn't do any other homework, I got some other stuff.
Okay.
And I know we've talked about this stuff before, what cult classics are and how they came about, but this was a little bit more in depth. The whole cult classic concept started in the 70s. Along with the rise of midnight movies. And I know we've talked about midnight movies.
Oh, yeah.
And how they were often unconventional movies that already really had a following. And that's how midnight movies turned into cult classics.
Okay.
Is they had a following. And then they started running them every Friday night at the movies. They were underground, for the most part. Early cult classics were came from the create. They came from a more creative space that were not considered at all mainstream.
Okay,
and that's you know, Rocky Horror, 1975.
Sure,
that is really where. Perfect example of what a cult classic is. Not at all mainstream.
No.
It's a whole different world than anybody normally has.
Yeah, it's all that stuff that nobody wants to talk about.
Right. But it's there. And, you know, that it's the unconventional, the unique.
Yeah. And the fact that you can still to this day go to a midnight showing.
Yep. Absolutely.
Of Rocky Horror in anywhere USA.
Yes. Yes. And the key characteristics of a cult movie, since I did the key characteristics of, they're transgressive or marginal content.
Okay.
Mostly taboo subjects. The genre is experimental, like horror, sci-fi, exploitation stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and we've absolutely seen every single one of those movies.
Yeah.
Since we've been watching our movies. There's also the subversive theme that challenges the social norm. And again, we've seen it. We've seen that.
Yeah.
That's, you know, Rocky Horror. Right there, guy dressed up in brawn panties and a garter belt. Come on. That's an absolute affront to the norm.
Oh, absolutely. The fact that he calls himself a transvestite.
Yeah.
Well, we can't say that anymore.
Oh.
But, right. You know, from transsexual Transylvania. What? Those are words we can't talk about.
Right. Right.
In 1975? We can't talk about them now.
Right. Right. And they always have a dedicated fan base.
Absolutely.
A subculture that has an engaged fan. Absolutely.
Okay.
And it has an enduring appeal. You know, that anytime you have something that's taboo, everybody wants it. You know, it's out there in front of everyone. Nobody says it.
Right.
Cult films are not just limited to bombs. They're often blockbusters that have developed a following. And some of those, you know, and so I thought, so I'm thinking in my head, what does that mean? You know, I didn't exactly understand that. Princess Bride.
Okay.
Wasn't exactly a bomb in the theater, but man, it has exploded onto the cult classic front big time.
Yeah, like Ghostbusters. You can't go to a comic book convention or a movie convention without seeing Ecto-1 parked in there.
Right. And even Star Wars.
Yeah.
Star Wars is a perfect example of what a cult classic could be. They have original themes. They draw huge crowds. And something like Star Wars, that's considered way ahead of its time.
Yeah.
I remember when Star Wars first came out, and it was beyond unbelievable that, you know, we're even thinking things like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Interesting stuff.
Cool.
So, yeah. That's why we do it. We're subversive. I mean, we're dedicated fans.
Well, I think that there's enough out there for, like, the mainstream stuff that, like, you know, I like watching mainstream stuff myself, but... Sure. This kind of stuff, this is my bread and butter.
Yep.
Like, this is the kind of stuff I want to watch. Like, Sleepaway Camp, I'd watch that 100 times before I go watch, you know, goddamn Transformers. Okay. You know?
Okay, yeah.
I'm going to watch Friday the 13th cover to cover before I go, you know, invest in a Fast and Furious movie.
I understand that.
Yeah, so, you know. That.
Right. So, and along with our cult classics, I've been seeing advertisements. I sent you one on Facebook.
Yeah.
Rob Reiner has joined with Criterion, and they have They are releasing a remastered version of This Is Spinal Tap.
It's no shit. In
theaters.
Criterion Collection is doing that.
Yep.
Wild.
July 5th, 6th, and 7th.
That's crazy.
I thought, my gosh. And I only know Criterion from you. I didn't know what that was, a little while ago. And you've explained that to me. And I saw this advertisement and I thought, oh, we've got to mention that. So.
That's cool as hell.
And we've talked about.
Well, that's because they're doing the sequel. The sequel should be coming out anytime soon.
Is that why?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know why they're doing a sequel 45 years at a time. I'm aggravated about that.
Is Rob Reiner directing?
I think so. I would think so, right? I don't know.
When I first saw, sometimes I don't look at my phone or my tablet with volume. And I'm looking at this person, I'm thinking, gosh, he looks familiar. But like me, Rob Reiner, 70 years old.
Yeah.
It was weird. It was just weird. And then I turned it on. I thought, oh, Lex would be interested in this.
The first Spinal Tap movie is A1 work.
And I have seen that one. I've seen it on television. I know I have. Because I recognize those people. Weird, just weird.
Yeah.
But I thought that would be something interesting. And not every, unless you happen to see one of those little ads pop up, you're scrolling through, Reels or TikTok or something. There it was.
That's so funny.
Yeah. So spread that around. We had a fabulous
camp. Kids camp food.
Yes.
We had to have corn. It's not really yet corn on the cob season here.
Right.
So we just had frozen corn.
So it's awful. It doesn't get in your teeth that way.
Yeah. Yeah. With my grill, I have real trouble eating it off.
Oh, yeah. Listen, all those holes get in between your teeth. It's awful.
Yeah.
Hate it, but I love corn on the cob.
But we had corn, we had corn dogs, and we had macaroni and cheese.
Yep.
And little mini muffins.
They were delicious. Everything was delicious.
Yep.
I love me a corn dog.
Listen, I like a beige meal. I'm not mad. I'm not mad at a beige meal.
Nope.
It's not nutritionally dense, but tastes good.
Yep. And it's not like you have it every day, so it's okay.
Yeah.
Have a beige meal once in a while, but I haven't had box macaroni and cheese in forever.
Oh, I love box
and
mac.
Man, it was delicious.
Yeah.
Wow. Forget how good that crap tastes. Powdered cheese. Yes, please.
Uh-huh.
But man, it was delicious. Another excellent meal paired by Chef Lexi.
Yeah. it was real hard. The hardest part was I had to cook the corn first because the corn, the microwave and the
you can't run both of them at the same time because they're in the same plug.
It pops the fuse.
Oh no.
So I had to cook the corn first and then that's why the corn dogs were still cooking when you got here.
Yeah.
Cuz
I did think the corn, geez, this isn't tastes like it's real warm.
Oh.
That's why. Okay.
Because I opened it and put a little butter in it.
Yeah.
It was delicious. I should have left it closed and then put butter in it.
Nah.
Before we ate.
Nah. It was fine. But usually you have hot vegetables. I mean, hot.
Yeah.
But this time the corn dog was hot.
Yeah.
It was hot inside and out.
Listen, sometimes you bite into a corn dog, like you put that thing in the oven for 20 minutes and the bread is sizzling
on fire and the hot dog is still frozen.
Yes.
What the hell? How does that work?
I don't know.
I know. And who am I to talk about cold food? I eat cold food all the time.
Yeah.
I am not one of those people that have to have everything piping hot at the meal. I don't do that.
But yeah, but a corn dog has to be.
Oh, yeah.
Everything has to be hot or it's just not good.
Yes, yes. And it was. It was perfectly cooked. They had a little bit of crispy on the bottom where it was on the pan.
Yeah.
Oh, it was delicious.
Nice. Good.
But I love me a corn dog.
Who the hell don't love a corn dog?
Hot dogs, corn dogs, I'll say. Every once in a while, I'll go over to Sonic and get a corn dog because I can. I'm an adult. I can do that.
Hey, they're pretty good at Rudy's, too.
Rudy's has corn dogs?
Yeah, plus you can get a Rudy's fry with it.
Oh.
You didn't know they had corn dogs there?
No.
Yeah.
No, I just stopped there yesterday and got chili mac.
What do you think I do at Rudy's? I get a cup of corn dogs.
Well, and their fries are just so good at Rudy's.
Yeah, they're so good. I don't know what they do. I think they put crack on them.
Absolutely.
Because it looks just like a soggy French fry.
Yes.
But it tastes so good.
Yes. And they're always just the right crispy. And they're always just the right salted.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Which is crazy because, like I said, they always look soggy. They never
do.
Look crisp.
No.
But they always are.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah. Corn dogs. Rudy's. I only had one bad experience, and that was because the corn dog had, like, a hole in it. And, like, that hole, like, burnt.
Oh, no.
And it, like, ruined the whole thing.
Oh, no. They have delicious chili dog. I've only ever gotten a chili dog there. I did get that hamburger that one time. I probably would never get a hamburger from there again. It was just a hamburger.
Yeah.
It was nothing special. Nothing.
It's institutional.
Yeah. But their chili dogs are very good. Their fries are very good.
Yeah.
And I love their chili mac.
Oh, corn dog, dude. They get corn dogs.
Oh, my God. Okay, I'll try it the next time I go there.
I'm sorry, I just, you know, ruined your entire life with that information.
Well, I mean...
Now you have to go get one.
Oh, not today. I'm really full. But I can't. And they're even closer than Sonic. Plus, Sonic is maybe one of those restaurants that maybe I don't want to go to anymore.
Oh.
You know, on the list. So, but... Rudy's is blocks away from my house. Sonic is miles away. So, yeah. Oh, my. Okay.
Yeah.
I have something new to look forward to. I don't eat out much anymore, but when I do, I want something that tastes delicious. And I saw they have a little sticker at the Rudy's that I go to on Monroe Street. That they sell the chili mac sauce all by itself, frozen.
Oh.
You can buy a pound of the frozen chili mac sauce.
No shit.
I thought, that's something maybe I just need to have in my house.
Yeah.
Because I always have spaghetti in my house. I could make my own. I wouldn't even have to go out.
Yeah.
So I think the next time I go there, I'm going to buy a block of chili mac sauce. It was just a little tiny sticker on the window.
Huh.
And I had never seen it, or I'd never noticed it before. And I'm looking at that sticker and reading it, thinking, oh, my life has changed forever.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah.
Okay.
My new thing.
Sure.
What else?
I don't got nothing.
We can do deaths. There were a lot of deaths this last 2 weeks.
Okay.
Started out with Ann Burrell, 55.
I think that's going to turn into something bad.
You know, I've been hearing different things, and I do think that that's going to be a sad, sad ending.
Yeah.
Here's somebody you probably don't know, but I do. Kim Woodburn, 83, actress. I first saw her on a show on BBC called How to Clean Your House.
Oh, okay.
She's known as the Queen of Clean.
Okay. Nope.
Died after a short illness.
That's too bad. At 83, though.
Yeah.
Not too bad.
No. Nope. Jack Betts at 96. Actor. There was no cause all again. And this is another actor that if you saw him, you'd know who he was.
The name sounds familiar.
He's done lots of TV. He was in soap operas, movies. You know, again, if you saw him, you'd know who he is. Lynn Hamilton at 95. She also is an actress. And again, she was Fred Sanford's girlfriend on Sanford and Sons.
Okay.
So you know who she is.
Yeah.
She also has done tons of TV and stuff. Again, no cause. Lots of no cause this time. But 96? Do you really need a cause of death?
I mean,
life killed you.
Yeah.
Life has killed you.
Yeah.
Bobby Sherman, he died of cancer. 81.
But again, 81.
Everybody in my generation knows who Bobby Sherman is.
Yeah.
You know, there's just no question who he is. Bill Moyers at 91. He was a journalist and on PBS. I knew him from PBS. He was the press secretary for Lyndon Johnson from 65 to 67. He worked on every channel. CBS, NBC, MSNBC. He was an author, a minister, and in his 40-plus years as a journalist, he won 40 or 30 Emmys.
Wow.
That's a lot, considering it's all news. He wasn't an actor. It was all news. So, yeah. And finally, I have Rick Hurst at 79. He's an actor. There was, again, no cause of death. And again, you're going, Rick Hurst? He was Deputy Cletus Hogg on the Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh, I knew that.
He was Boss Hogg's cousin. But yeah, see that? You know who Cletus is.
Uh-huh.
Deputy Cletus. But Rick Hurst, I don't
know. Yeah, nope, name was not ringing any bells.
Right. Right. Interesting. Fun little tidbits this time. But
yeah.
Bobby Sherman, wow. You know, I mean, he was on our radio from as long as I can remember. But yeah, poor Ann Burrell. I think that's just going to... I think if the true facts come out, it's not going to be pretty.
Well, Ann Burrell was never my favorite person on TV.
No,
she
mine either.
She just seemed nasty to be nasty, which, you know, I don't think that's cute.
No.
Like, and if you're just mean, like, why are you even doing anything?
Right.
Like, go be mean
why
somewhere
are you
else.
Famous? You're just mean.
Yeah.
Right.
And this is me being a terrible person. I was shocked. I was most shocked that she left behind a husband.
And stepchildren.
Yeah.
Yeah. She didn't appear to me to be the type to have a partner.
Let alone a husband.
Right. But, you know, maybe that was just her act.
I don't know. She was Mario Batali's right hand for so long. I bet she's got some stories. And I have heard that she has done some of her own perpetrating. So, you know, are those stories true? I don't know. But, you know, under Mario Batali's tutelage, you know, long-time abuser,
yeah,
like, I wouldn't doubt it.
Right. You know. Yeah. And what we know of Kitchens, we know that, you know,
that's a hard row to go, but
I don't know why anybody would choose to be in a kitchen. I don't understand that.
I think you have to love food, like just the thought of food. Like, I'm so picky about what I'm willing to eat. Like, you know, You wouldn't tell by looking at me, but food is not my passion.
Right. Right.
You know, I make food that tastes good, but like, I don't.
You don't spend hours in your kitchen making something.
No, and I'm not going to go out and like craft the best meatloaf that's ever been made ever right. in the world. Like, because right. I don't care.
And we just talked about Kraft dinner. How we love that.
Like, I'm fine with a box mac.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think this is going to turn into like an Anthony Bourdain thing, but much less cool because she was just a mean person.
Yeah.
You know, Anthony Bourdain was a true badass. Like he was a awesome chef and he seemed to be like a genuinely decent dude.
Yeah.
And for him to go out the way he did sucked. It sucked for the culinary world. That sucked for the world at large because, you know, he had shows that featured, you know, not only food, but the people who make the food. It wasn't right. just about the food.
Correct. Right.
And, you know, we got to see cultures we would never have even pretended to think about.
Right. Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely.
Anne Burrell wasn't doing that. She was making fun of bad chefs.
Right.
You know. Whoopee shit.
Yeah. So, yeah. All sad. All sad.
But, yeah, 55 is way too young.
Yes.
Especially if it's kind of trending like I think it is yeah. going to trend. Right. That's even worse.
Yeah. Yep. What else? Oh, the Italian Bowl is going on today here in town.
Oh, okay.
There's so a lot of...
Stay away from the university.
Yeah, don't go over by the university. There's a couple of people on the reels and the TikTok that I saw that are making fun of that. Wayne Capsicavage, our mayor, got on and made his own and told people what the deal was, why this is so popular here, which I don't understand why it's so popular here. This is the second time they've come here.
Yeah.
To do their... All the way from Italy to come here to the Glass Bowl to do their, like, Super Bowl. I don't get it.
I don't, you know.
But it's huge. It's huge.
Maybe it's just the right size. You know, maybe that stadium is just the perfect size. I can't imagine how it's not like any other, how it's not unlike any other stadium around here.
Right. Italian football the same as American football?
I can't imagine that it is.
You know, I don't know.
But I don't think it's soccer.
No, it is not soccer. It is American football.
Oh.
And it's the Italian league. It's people from Italy that have these football leagues.
Weird.
And they come here to Toledo. The to most have like their Super Bowl.
Un-Italian place in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, we are. Toledo population is not Italian. No. No, we are not. So, yeah, that's craziness. Which, you know, I find amazing that people come from all over the world for this. To our little town. Amazing. So, yeah. What else? The Crosby Art Festival is today.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And it's not going to be so hot today, I think.
Yeah, I think I saw it was only going to be 85, you know.
Right.
But like I was telling you the other day, a couple days ago, it was over 100 and it was hotter than hell. But I was out, what was it, yesterday?
Uh-huh.
And it yeah. was not as hot, but I feel like it was hotter.
It never got over 100. 96 was the hottest it got.
But like,
because of the humidity and everything, the heat index was 101 and 105. One day it was 101, the next day it was 105.
It's gross. That heat dome really right. got us.
It did. It did. It's still, it's moving out slowly. So
that guy
be nicer.
On the Facebook reels that he's always singing about cheese and everything's brown like him. And the Montequilla, he talks about and he makes himself, I got to make myself smaller.
Oh, that guy. Okay.
That
okay.
guy. Yeah. He had posted a picture of, in the picture, it had Earth on one side. It had the sun on the other side. And in the middle, there was a dotted line that connected the sun to the Earth. And then in the middle was North Carolina.
That one.
And I commented on that. I said, shit. I said, I'm in Northern Ohio, and it went from winter to Satan's butthole overnight.
It did. Yes.
God damn. I hate the heat. I'm not built for it.
No, I've never much cared for. And it's getting hotter here. You know, people don't think that here in Northwest Ohio, we get hot weather. When Blythe came up, the last time, she brought a friend with her who has lived her life in Tennessee. And she says, well, how hot does it get up here? I said, it gets into the hundreds. She goes, you're kidding me. She was so shocked that it gets so hot here.
Yeah. Well, I think people forget that, like, this used to be a swamp and that swamps happen in, you know, more temperate zones.
Yes. Yes.
You know, Louisiana has swamps.
Yes.
Think about that.
And now,
now with global warming, you know.
Which is really not a thing. Yeah, right.
California gets winter and we get
California.
Billion degrees.
Yeah. So, yeah. So it's funny. Our weather is crazy. Yeah, we get weather just like everybody else. We get all kind of weather.
Yeah. Oh, this heat dome, though. That was obnoxious.
Oh, it was awful.
I'll take a polar vortex over a heat dome all day, every day.
You know what? I think so. I can put a sweater on. I can't take a layer of fat off.
Yeah. In the polar vortex, when it's too cold to be alive, like, at least you can function.
Yep.
Like, in the heat, you just can't function.
No, you can't breathe. You can't, you know. Your cars have problems working. More so in the summer than in the winter, which is amazing to me.
Yeah.
But all that computer stuff, it does not function in heat. It's a mess here in Ohio.
Yeah.
And then I heard stuff that they passed a bill during the night the other night that's not going to be good for us. So,
well, they're just in the habit of doing that now.
Yes.
That's what they do.
Understand why all of a sudden everybody wants to work in the night. We can't get those congressmen and senators to stay in their job for a whole year, much less work at, you know, 2 a.m. What the hell? You know, and I thought it was absolutely crazy when the federal government was doing that. Now, the people in Washington were doing that. Now they're doing it here in Columbus. Crazy.
Yeah, everybody's awful.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree.
Well, we did a ridiculous TikTok.
Yes, we did.
It's gotten about 100 views.
I
but we got a few new followers today, so that's pretty cool.
Well, hello, welcome.
Yeah. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah.
We're idiots.
And we freely admit it. I just have to look at a picture of us together, and you'll know that it's true.
Yep. Look at these two dummies.
We love what we're doing.
We're having a great time.
Yes. And what's wrong with that?
Nothing.
There is nothing wrong with it. We are crazy. That's okay.
Yeah. We are coming up quickly on our 90th movie.
Yes. We've got to get planning.
Yeah, we've only got two movies left to do before our countdown to 100.
Have we made a definite timetable yet?
No, but I have found most of the movies.
Okay. So what we need to do is get a timetable together.
I can't find one of the movies. I think I'm just going to go to a shop and see if I can pick it up.
Okay.
Because I know that I have it, but I can't put my hands on it. One of them is currently streaming. So I think it will really kind of depend on what is available at the moment.
Okay.
For is how we watch what first.
Are we going to announce the movies we've chosen, or is it going to come as a surprise? We'll have to think about that.
Yeah, because I don't know. I think I kind of want it to be a surprise, but also I do put a trailer out every movie we do.
Yeah, but that's a surprise. You know, we never know what movie's gonna come up.
It's true.
So, you know, okay. We're not gonna change our MO. We're not gonna plan ahead.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. We are gonna fly by the seat of our pants.
Which we've been doing, and it seems to be working for us,
Yeah.
kinda ish. So, yeah, why not?
I mean, we kind of don't care if you don't like it. This is what we're gonna do.
Right, because this is what we do.
Yeah. So I'll get to work on thinking about what 88 and 89 are going to be,
Okay.
and then we'll go from there.
We'll dive in. All
Yeah.
right. Sounds like a good plan.
But there is still plenty of summertime. We could probably do another summer movie. There are some funny ones that we can do.
Okay, I'm not going to say anything because I stepped right into this one.
You really did bring this on yourself.
Oh my. Okay.
But like I said, this is one of those movies that the rewatchability on it is very high because it's so bad. And you just have to see,
What did
like,
I miss?
yeah, did I miss something?
Was I watching
And like I said, I've seen this several times, and I only just noticed, who walked in to kill Judy, and it wasn't Angela.
Okay. My goodness. Okay. Nice.
You
Okay.
know, and is that because I'm playing it on, a video game console on my giant TV? I've never watched this movie on such a big TV. Is that why I started noticing things? I don't know.
But see, I think if you see this movie the first time, you don't notice stuff like that. I didn't notice that. You know, and when that person was standing in the door, I couldn't understand who that was.
Oh, I could very clearly see who that was.
But I think if I saw it again, I would know who that was. You know, oh, yeah. That's what Lex said. Yeah.
And I think it helped having a little bit of homework in on this movie because I was looking for stuff.
Okay. Well, yeah, and having seen it before, so yeah. Okay.
I was looking for a man's arm when the chair that the cook was standing on was being moved. I was looking for a man's hand when Meg was being stabbed.
Right. Right. And if you think about it, a little kid pull that chair out with that grown man holding that gigantic pot of water. How
Right.
did a little kid pull that? But you know, you're strong when you need to be strong.
Yeah, I guess. But also, I'm not interested in being in the splash zone for that.
Right. Why did they have such a goddamn big pot?
'Cause there only seemed to be about 30 kids at
Yeah. And there was corn all over that kitchen. Did you see the corn?
Yeah, and that what would you say that pot was? Five
6 feet
feet tall?
tall, at least.
Yeah. All right. Other than that, I don't really have anything else. Nothing's doing here.
Nope, nothing. Well, we already talked about the Italian Bowl and Crosby Gardens, so that's it.
Yeah. I've started rewatching Preacher on Shudder.
I don't know what that is.
It was a comic book in the probably mid 90s it came out. It's about a man who has kind of a criminal background, but his daddy was a preacher. It sounds like most of the men in his family were preachers, and so now he's taken over the family business, and he's got this girlfriend who is a criminal, and a friend who kind of comes into his life who is a vampire.
Ooh. Oh my.
And they're right now they're looking for God, because something was flowing into holy men. And so far this man has been the only one able to house it.
Okay.
Like
the criminal.
Yeah.
Tallulah
pisses me off so much.
I know, but she's so
But anyways, you know, the first time you see like this thing like come through the sky into the atmosphere, it blows somebody up.
Oh.
And you know, he didn't blow up, and it has been in and out of him a couple of times, and he's never blown up. And angels were sent to look for him.
Okay.
And he stole an angel phone from them.
I think she went under the couch.
No, she's not. She's right here.
Oh, okay. An angel phone. Okay. Yeah.
So he was going to use that angel phone to call God.
Oh.
And prove to his congregation that God is real and God is a thing. And somebody answers and they're like, oh, everybody's saved. I'm God and everything's great. And everybody that you know that's dead is with me in heaven. And then he was like, wait a minute, what are you talking about? Seriously? And they kind of catch this God talking and they're like, we think you're real. And he's just like, they're on to me. They're on to me. And you can see people come and drag this God guy away. And what? And so they figure out that the real God is probably somewhere on Earth and probably just hanging out being a regular Joe. And now they have to find him and ask him what the fuck.
My goodness. Okay.
So that's where I'm at in the show now. I don't know what's going to happen.
Ooh, interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. And I watch nothing. Game shows. How-to shows. My, Midsummer Murders.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I ever watch. Maybe I should expand into that. Find out what exactly it is that... What the hell is she watching?
It's on Shudder.
Okay.
It's in the series section. And it's kind of down in the middle.
All right. I don't know if I want to invest that time.
Yeah, because, I mean, there are, like, hour-long episodes.
Yeah, but what's that? 37 minutes or something?
No, man, they feel like they're hours long.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Yeah, all right. Yeah, no, me, I don't, you know me, I don't, TV's on, I don't watch it.
Yeah, that's kind of how it is, like, but I've been forcing myself to sit down and rewatch it.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Mindless TV?
And the guy that plays the vampire is pretty cute.
Oh, okay.
It's an Irish guy.
Oh.
Because the vampire's an Irish guy.
All right. Why are the vampires always some, you know, interesting foreign person? Because we're not interesting or foreign?
Well, Bram Stoker is an Irishman.
Okay.
Vlad Tepish was from Transylvania, Romania.
Yeah.
That's where, you know, Dracula, Count Dracula is supposed to live.
Right.
So, you know, why wouldn't it be an exotic man?
Okay.
Exotic for us.
Right. Us neon white people.
I said that I was electric white at work the other day and they just laughed at me.
Yeah, because the part you can see, which are the only suntan parts on me, are my arms. Even my face, I don't think it ever gets suntanny, but, you know, my arms from the car.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the only thing that's ever really tan on me anymore. Electric white. Oh my goodness. Okay.
You can real tell. You can really tell when I'm outside in the direct sunshine, and it's just like
You have a sheen.
I have a created glare.
Oh my. Yeah, there's people, no people of any kind of color in our family.
Oh, no.
You know, we all came from dark, cold places.
And all those Italians I thought that we were related to, it turns out they're all Dutch. That's more white people.
Yes.
Big white people.
Yes. Yes. Oh my.
I'm okay. Already made of big white parts.
Who knows? That's all right. I mean, you look okay.
Yeah, I'm fine. I like, you know, I look whatever.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Oh my goodness. Okay. There's a guy, I'm watching this reel on, or this thing on TikTok. This guy has found a boulder in his yard.
Oh.
And I think they live in Indiana. Well, he thinks he's going to dig this boulder up. I think that boulder's attached to the center of the earth. It's 7 foot long.
Oh.
And he's already down, he's already dug down about 4 foot. You know, and let's face it, Indiana, just like Ohio, is glacial. The rocks were just pushed down here. I think that dude's going to find that he's got a rock that's the earth.
Well, I mean, did it just appear? Like,
no.
Oh.
Kind of came in at the middle of this.
Okay.
And he had only dug down about a foot. And now he's dug down about 4 foot. But I guess he was digging, trying to put a flower bed or something. I don't know. But he's got this rock that he thinks he's going to take out and put in the front of his yard. He's going to.
7 feet long?
It's 7 feet long, yes.
He's just gonna pick that up and put it in his front yard?
Well, I mean, you can get excavation equipment to do that, and that's what he's going to do. But I'm thinking, first off, what's it going to cost to get an excavator to move a piece of stone that's 7 foot long and at least 4 foot deep? And he's not even...
tonnage does that mean?
Well, it's... He says he's contacted people, and people say that whatever different kind of rock it is makes a difference on what it could weigh. It could weigh 10 tons. Can you get an excavator to move that much? I don't know. But if it's a piece of granite, that's a big, heavy stone. If it's sandstone, it's a different kind of weight.
Okay.
I'd have to look for him. Guy digging a stone out of his yard.
There's a guy in Florida that built a house for the woman he loved. And I don't think they ever ended up together.
No, that man that...
The Coral Castle?
The Coral Castle. No, they did not ever... She never came to the United States to be with him.
She built that place and... They wondered how, you know, how slabs of that coral rock could have been lifted. And he said he did it by himself. And
they still don't know how that has happened, how he was able to do it. They found a few tripod type things in the yard.
Mm-hmm.
But they still, to this day, do not know. And he's been dead for, you know, 40 years.
Yeah, at least.
You know, and they still do not know how he built that. That's cool. That
yeah.
You need to find that show on TV.
Yeah.
I've seen that and it is cool. But yeah, that is, you're right. How does that happen? I don't know.
I don't know.
But this guy, I think this guy's going to find that he should not be, plus it's less than 6 foot away from the foundation of his home.
Oh, Jesus
Christ. I think he needs to stop messing with it.
Yeah, just let it go.
And he thinks he's going to fill it up with a, you know, a couple of yards of dirt. No.
Couple of yards? What?
He's going to take up his sidewalk and turn that into rubble and put it in the bottom. Then he thinks he's going to get a couple of yards of dirt to fill it in. No, that's not how it works, dude.
It's a crater.
He's going to have multiple truckloads of dirt to fill that.
Oh my God. I don't want to watch this because it just sounds asinine.
I'm going to have to pay more attention to it because it's like crazy. I think, dude, that's a glacial rock. That you're not going to pull that out. Plus, it's like it could very well be on the foundation of your house.
Yeah. Or under the foundation.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
We'll see.
God damn. Okay,
I'm going to have to
weird.
look for him. I will have to look for him because I want to know.
Ugh.
All right. Well, anyway.
All right, well, you go do that. Do
Okay.
you want some leftovers? I got some leftovers.
Sure.
Sweet. Right.
Always love a leftover.
All right, then we'll wrap this up and we'll figure out the next two movies and we'll be back. We're always back.
We are. We're good like that.
Yeah. So, see you soon.
All righty. Bye.
Bye.